I look forward to next week to preaching a message on fellowship with God. But I'm going to close out this medical series with one more, and I title it Disease X and the Mark of the Beast. My text, of course, is Revelation 13. Let's read these three verses. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You may be seated. That would be 666. Father, we do ask that you bless the preaching of your word today. Thank you again always for your preserved Bible. Thank you for all that hear your words today. Please help me preach it right and true. And God, help us to not be discouraged in a sinful way, but take knowledge of prophecies, hold on to them, and use them for the healing that they will bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is an Antichrist coming. Really, two Antichrists. But one is the beast. His kingdom is called the beast, and he is the beast. And he will have with him a man, the beast of the earth. And this man, not the Antichrist, but in the Bible, what's called the false prophet is going to cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, everybody. Whether you're in prison, out of prison, whether you're rich, it doesn't matter. Everybody will receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. King James Bible says in. That's prophetic. Nobody will be able to buy or sell except those that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The Bible says that 666. Let's take a look at this sidekick of the Antichrist. Here he is in Revelation 19. And the beast was taken. Praise God. No matter how horrible the news sounds of this prophecy, no matter how bad it looks to us, this is how the book of Revelation sums things up. We have Revelation 19. Jesus comes, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. So notice, he has this man that will do great miracles before the Antichrist, which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. We've shown in the past that the pagans, all down through their mythologies, their so-called histories, their teachings, they have looked for these two men to come that they believe are gods come down to the earth. We see it in the book of Acts. They called Barnabas Jupiter. That would be the coming Antichrist, the head god. And Paul, they called him Mercurius or Mercury because he was the chief speaker. So the Antichrist, he will blaspheme. He will have seducing words, but he will have a chief speaker that does these miracles. And they are coming as the god Jupiter and as the god Mercury. The false prophet will come in the representation of Mercury. This is all in very, very, very important as we see what's manifesting around us, and it's all coming together. Medical mythology. Hermes, Mercury. Marque Champeau in the Mayo Clinic proceedings. In Greek mythology, Hermes, the Romans knew him as Mercury, was the messenger of the gods. So basically, Hermes is what they're going to believe. The devil Hermes, the false prophet, is coming in the representation of Hermes, which Isaac Newton and other alchemists linked back to the ancient Hermetic wisdom of Egypt. And Paul tells us, yes, it'll be just like the wizards, the magicians in the days of Pharaoh. The Romans knew him as Mercury. He was the messenger of the gods and the mediator between the realm of the dead and the kingdom of the living. He was depicted as wearing a winged sandals and traveler's hat and carrying a magic wand. The wand was a caduceus, a winged staff with two snakes wound around it, as we've seen. That's the symbol of medicine. We know our Lord Jesus, as we've seen in the past, told the church of Pergamos that you're where Satan's seat is. We know at Pergamos is where Asclepius, the snake god, was worshipped with this same symbol. Basically, Asclepius was Hermes. Hermes goes all the way back, the Hermetic wisdom. It's the heart of occultism. As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Medicine in that day was in the hands of the physicians, the wizards, the witch doctors, the alchemists, as it has been in many times throughout history, various tribes. The witch doctor was the healer, but he was also the magician. This prophet of the Antichrist will also be seen as the world healer. Twenty years ago, we did a series of sermons. They were titled Racing Towards the Mark of the Beast. Every year we would give an update on where we were in Bible prophecy. How things are racing toward the mark of the beast. Things were manifesting that were not necessarily the mark of the beast, but they were all stage setting like never before. Stage setting so much that it's unbelievable that anybody after the year 2000, it's unbelievable anyway since Israel had become a nation. How could you backslide? You don't even need these things manifested. You have a Bible. You have truth. You have the living God. But to backslide after Israel's become a nation that has been looked for 2,000 years. To backslide when you're seeing the mark of the beast technology manifested all around you, it's just absolutely insane. There is the symbol of modern mafia medicine, pagan medicine, abortion, transgender, hospice, euthanasia, killing, organ transplant, harvesting, killing you with drugs, poisoning you. The Independent, way back when we were preaching, July 1st, 2001, says digital angel implant technology designed to thwart the evil spirits. As a NASDAQ-listed company, which claims its microchip can help find children who have been kidnapped, has been attacked as an agent of evil. Well, what we showed was, why is this digital angel imprint technology in your hand? Why do they have 666, obviously, in their logo? Why do they have three sixes? And we exposed it. What were they? Are they just? And we pose the idea: are they just poking at us, or Are they aware somehow that they are in the line of what's bringing in the Antichrist? A prominent U.S. religious group has said the new technology is a prophecy of the coming of the devil, calling it the mark of the beast, known as digital angel. And this was wild back then, folks. There were videos all over America, television, documentaries. It showed all these people lining up to get the implanted chip, you know, businesses. It was an amazing thing. Known as the digital angel, the microchip works in conjunction with GPS. The inventor of the chip, Peter Zhao, chief scientist for development of the implant, said there are different interpretations of the Bible. Anything to improve the quality of life is from God. So their idea is this: if you can do good with it, it must be okay. Nobody ever sits back and says, well, what's the devil going to do with this? And does God really want you walking around with something in your hand like that? That's why we called it stage setting for the mark of the beast. Racing toward the mark of the beast. Twenty years later, they're still here. Digital angel medical monitoring systems will give physicians and clinical testing professionals around the clock access to their patients and test objects through various means. They're bridging technology with the body to always measure what the patient is doing. Who could be against that? Who could be against, with all this sexual trafficking, having kids where you can trace them wherever they're at by some chip? I guess they're so stupid they don't think they'll just chop the hand off or cut it out, as if they're not going to know the chip is there. But nevertheless, that's how they will sell it to you, see. What has happened in the past 20 years? Well, you have this Monster energy drink, which is supposed to be a scratch of the Monster, and it says awaken the beast, but they just so happen to do their little marking just like the six Hebrew letter, which stands for the number six. So we have 666, awake the beast. I mean, they didn't grow up on Iron Maiden and Slayer. They know what awake the beast means. They understand what everybody's going to take that as. Here it is right here. That's the six. There's another one. There's six. They've got 666 right on the drink, you know. And if you think, well, no, you're just reading into that, you know. Well, hey, another energy drink came out and said, hey, we're just going to put it blatant. We're 666. I was in Branson the other day. I looked up, saw 666. I said, what in the world is this? It was an energy drink. I mean, they really have Baphomet on the front. They call it Lucifer's Lemonade. Now, the technology was shocking. I mean, you can go back to the Social Security number, stage setting for the mark of the beast. You can go back to the Visa cards, you know, stage setting for the mark of the beast. As you got V1, S, and A, all stand for 666 in various cultures, the major cultures of the world. It doesn't mean when you use a Visa card that you are adopting or receiving the mark of the beast. But it does mean we are racing toward it. We are taking steps toward it. And now with digital money and cryptocurrency and all of these things that are coming out, it's all putting you in a situation where one day, very soon, this Hermes, this Mercury, this false prophet will be able to have the power, and he will come in the name of medicine. He will come to save you. He will come to heal you. It will be an emergency health measure. But you will know when you take that, you are worshiping this man, the Antichrist, Satan, whether they call him that or not, it will be an act of worship. As we look at our day and age, what are some of the things that have manifested? Back in 2020, let's go to patents. Publication date, March 26, 2020. What is the Microsoft patent? Well, we have WO, that's short for World Intellectual Property Organization, or WIPO. We got the publication date, 2020. So now what is the patent number? 666. Why would they do that? Well, let's see what it is. Why would Microsoft do that? Cryptocurrency system using body activity data. It's a patent for mining currency, rewarding the person who is using this body system. Meaning, when you do things they want you to do, you get money in your account. Cryptocurrency. Wow, what an ingenious idea. To have people going around, and as long as you're obedient to what they say, you get money in your account. What does that mean if you're disobedient? Well, you don't get money. Let's read it. This is from the patent. Human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of cryptocurrency system. A sensor communicatively coupled to or comprised in the device of the user may sense body activity of the user. The cryptocurrency system communicatively coupled to the device of the user may verify if the body activity data satisfies one or more conditions set by the cryptocurrency system and award cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified. Now that's amazing. Now that was from the very patent. Let's go to the UK's independent fact-checking organization. Paid for by Facebook, promoted by Google and Big Tech. So you know we're going to get truth right now. There is a genuine patent that Microsoft applied for in 2019, numbered 666. The application does mention technology that allows for people's activity to be monitored in exchange for cryptocurrency. You say, well, I don't use cryptocurrency. What if you end up in a situation where there is no other currency but digital currency, somehow or another? It is true that Microsoft has a patent application with the number 666, but it's for a system which rewards physical activity with cryptocurrency. Now, many have noticed that this opens the door to the idea of coupling nanotechnology with vaccinated individuals. And these aren't just fringe people on the side. This is from the International Journal of Vaccine Theory, Practice, and Research. Let's hear what they say. The Journal of Vaccine Theory and Practice. They say the patent applied for would authorize the patent holder to use every manner of surveillance of an individual's bodily states, their actions, their thoughts, to make the buying and selling of necessary products and services contingent upon certain work, such as receiving or refusing to receive certain vaccines or meeting other requirements set by the patent holder. Now, whether this will actually be the mark of the beast, I think they're hoping it will be. I think they're hoping to get in line that so many people will use this and this will be the world system. What happens when you mix this type of technology that you can't get your financial reward in your bank account unless they sense that you're doing exactly what they want you to do? What happens when you mix this with the rising totalitarian nature of big mafia medicine led by Big Pharma? It shows what our future will one day be like. Right now, the nations of the world have adopted the World Health Organization. And many doctors will tell you it is totally run by Big Pharma and China. Do we want forced vaccinations? Do we want mandated vaccinations? Of course we don't. We've shown what's happening out here today, that these doctors are so worried about the blood clots, the heart attacks. WorldNet Daily recently reported from Epic Times, cancers erupting in ways never before seen following the COVID shots. For example, Dr. Harvey Rich suspects patients' immune systems are compromised. Of course they are. Cancers are occurring in excess, Dr. Harvey Rich explained in a report by the Epic Times. There have been 25-year-olds with colon cancer who don't have family histories of the disease. That's basically impossible along the known paradigm for how colon cancer works. He tells us that many other cancers, the same thing is happening. Some doctors are telling us that the pharmaceutical industry, in its effort to intervene on a complex body system, is disrupting the regeneration quality of the body. Now, let me put that in a better understandable fashion. Your body has the ability to renew itself as long as you'll do what God wants you to do with it. God says, I give you things to eat that you might renew your youth. The various things like fasting and taking care of your body the way God shows in the Bible, it can renew itself. It can heal itself. Which means the job of a physician many times is to help you get out of the way of yourself. To help give you the things that your body needs to regenerate itself. Much healing comes in that way. Well, what these doctors are showing is the modern big pharma industry disrupts that whole process. It's so unnatural that your body now cannot heal itself. Whatever switch they turn on, they're turning on another 30 that should not be turned on, if not 300. And one of the main things that they agree on is we can show how it interrupts the body's ability to heal itself. We have a Daily Mail headline from the other day. From the Vaccine Task Force. I guess that's UK. These are people ahead of the COVID Vaccine Task Force. Let's hear what they say. The next pandemic is already coming, and it could kill millions more than COVID. We need to prepare for it now, writes the experts of the Vaccine Task Force. Even more terrifying is the fact that Britain and the rest of the world have so far done very little to prepare for it. Now, what do they want to prepare for it? They want a worldwide international system that can overthrow the sovereign nation. Once the leader of the World Health Organization declares this is a pandemic, then the countries must submit to whatever the leader of the World Health Organization says you must do. What if one day the leader of the World Health Organization is Dr. whoever, whoever, and he's a false prophet? However he's going to come, he's going to come. They'll tell you plainly in here, to combat disease X, which is why I call this disease X and the mark of the beast. As the World Health Organization ominously calls it, we will once again need vaccines to be engineered and delivered in record time for disease X. But they want everything in place so when they launch disease X, they're going to have the system in place. Today, it's all to, this is why it's so important to pray for the right leaders. Because if you have a leader that signs the treaty and joins us with the World Health Organization, the nation's done for, you see. Today, it's all too easy to forget that governments around the world were dangerously unprepared for a global health crisis. So they're saying, you don't want to do what you did before. Wasn't that terrible? But it'll all be better now. Just convince your leaders to join this new treaty and sign it. You don't think Biden would sign that? Or whoever it is? God help us. So why are pandemics on the increase? Now, this is very interesting. I want to hear what these vaccine people will actually tell us why these diseases are on the increase. For a moment, they give you probably a little bit of truth. Put aside bioengineering and all of that type of stuff that they're doing. They're not going to tell you we're making it from these animals in the laboratory or whatever it is. But why are pandemics on the increase? First, it's increasingly connected through globalization. Everybody just kind of just mixing all together, you know. Second, more and more people are cramming into cities. It's interesting they tell you this. Where they often come into close contact with others. God says, woe unto those who plant house to house till there be no more room. So you got a sanitation issue. They've walked into the streets of New York and they said, where do you think all of your sewage goes? Nobody can answer the question. They said, I've never really thought about it. There's millions of people here. Where does our sewage go? You ought to look at some documentaries on where it goes. And third, millions of acres of natural habitat are being destroyed by us each year. What they're saying is these viruses are jumping from the animals because we have animals that are in your backyard that normally were not in your backyard, and they're mixing with your dogs and mixing, you know, basically in contact with your pets, and everything is kind of your dog's out here eating something that maybe has a disease, and you touch it and kiss it and do all the things people do with their dogs, and there's no telling, you know. So they're saying that basically the disruption, which they're going to use to make everything a UN off limit nature zone. You know, they want you in the cities, but yet at the same time, they're telling you that these cities are spawning the diseases. Every now and then, they just have a little bit of truth on top of their nonsense. But here's the main goal. All of these nations should agree to sign up to a global pandemic treaty. Who's giving you the global pandemic treaty? The World Health Organization. So let me bring you up to speed right now. The World Health Organization is putting forth and working on a treaty for nation member states to sign, and they will have power to control the next pandemic. Let's go to the World Economic Forum, which is the, there's the World Health Organization, there is the serpentine god of healing. The World Economic Forum, who wants to bring forth the Great Reset, Let's hear what they say this pandemic treaty is. See, I like to give it to you from their own mouth, you know. The pandemic treaty of the World Health Organization is expected to be finalized by May 2024. So this is coming spring when they want this thing ratified. And it would come into force once it has been ratified by two-thirds of the World Health Organization member states. The proposed pandemic treaty has come under fire, says the World Economic Forum, on social media, mostly from right-wing critics, warning that it could lead to countries ceding authority to the World Health Organization. The body strongly refutes this, stressing that governments are leading the negotiations and they're free to reject the accord. Now, that is the most ridiculous logic. I'm hearing this type of logic more and more. What they're saying is this: hey, you chose to sit down at the table with us. Yeah, we scared you to death. Yeah, we scared your people with propaganda, so they're screaming for it. But hey, it's your leaders that signed it. Let me ask you a question. How did that work with the states and the colonies when they were told, just join our little federation of the United States of America, and you can always back out? If you don't agree with something, you could back out. This is just an association. How'd that work out? Anybody know history? What happened, Tim? Did it work out okay? Were they allowed to back out if they wanted to? Basically, once you're in, buddy. But they said, don't worry, this isn't, we're not forcing anybody to sign. And then he goes on to say, it's just not fair what happened last time. All we're trying to do, people, is make this fair. There were some poor countries that didn't get enough COVID vaccines because all these rich nations just sucked them all up. We're not going to let that happen again. We're going to make sure everybody's vaccinated. Doesn't that sound nice? Hey, listen to all these liberals everywhere. Yeah, we need to sign this because it's just making sure the poor nations get vaccines this time. We need somebody to manage this. Well, nobody, who elects the World Health Organization leaders? Dr. Merle Moss summarizes the new World Health Organization treaty. She says it will remove the human rights protections, enforce surveillance, censorship, get rid of freedom of speech. Also, we will be subject to vaccines developed in 100 days. It will bring enforced digital passports. And the Director General of the World Health Organization can demand that a pandemic exists. He can just declare it. And then countries around the world will have to obey. Some doctors have argued you're just going to bring United Nations soldiers to force everybody where you can get away with it. And they're like, the United Nations soldiers are peacekeepers. We just come in for peacekeeping enterprises. What I'm trying to show you, folks, is that this totalitarian control of medicine has already been bad since the 1930s. And now, as we get close to 100 years of domination by the medical mafia, they have now grown into a trillions of dollar world empire that controls the politicians of the world through Big Pharma. If you don't see how this serpentine, serpent god on a pole, is going to be tied to the coming mark of the beast, it's part of this system, I believe. Dr. Peter Gooch says much of what the drug industry does fulfills the criteria for organized crime in U.S. law. And they behave in many ways like the mafia does. They corrupt everyone they can corrupt. They have bought every type of person, even including ministers of health. These aren't just junior doctors I'm trying to quote to you. They're people that have been brave enough to speak up. And you've already seen how I've quoted how doctors are saying, we're scared to death. We can't tell you what's really going on. The drug industry buys the professors first, then the chiefs of department, then the other chief physicians, and so on. That's why I wrote my book, Deadly Medicines and Organized Crime, How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare. Doctors and nurses coming forth and saying, I have to euthanize patients and give them drugs to kill them. They're saying, we don't want to do this anymore. You've got abortions of babies, as we've seen last week. How is that health care? You've got organ harvesting of living people. How is that health care? You've got mutilating girls and boys in the name of the trans movement. This doctor says, when I was a specialist in internal medicine, what I very often did was stopped a lot of drugs. And it's quite revealing to see a bedridden elderly person come into your ward, and when you stop the drugs, I mean, that person becomes many years younger. We looked last week at biological health compared to your health by number of years. I mean, your age, biological age, compared to your health by number of years. Many of these drugs affect the brain, as he goes through and documents. Now, let me change gears for a moment. Many of these things are frightening. Many churches will not preach on the book of Revelation. They say, I don't want to be tormented. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to be stressed. And this generation can't handle stress very well, you understand? I mean, there's a lot going on to where if a boss just gets on to them, they just melt. They're upset. They come back and they need a psychologist now. They need some type of psych drug to deal with the stress of somebody telling them you're not doing your job right. Most of them aren't even doing a job. They're walking around with a cell phone like this all day, you know? I've seen one. I was in a store the other day and it must have been the boss walked up and says, what are you doing? This was a while back, but what are you doing? And the fellow's just sitting there on his phone. The book of Revelation says, blessed is he that reads this. Blessed. So whatever God put in there, even though it's frightening to the flesh, it's good for us. How can it be good? How can preaching on Bible prophecy be a good thing for young people to hear? There are people who say, we're not going to that church. We don't want to hear about end times and Jesus coming. And there's people that backslide. And you say, why'd you leave your church? They say, I got tired of the seriousness. I got tired of just, I don't want to see what's all coming. I don't want to know about these things. So here's what I'm going to put forth to you right now. Number one, the book of Revelation shows how it ends. It ends on a happy note for those people that follow Jesus. But there's more than that. As many of you know, I believe that there's an escape, not from persecution, not from suffering, but from a time of temptation that the world has never seen the likes of before and never will. And I believe the Lord, after telling you all these terrible things that are coming, ends his whole message by saying, take care of yourself. Take heed to yourself. Watch how you eat. And he says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. And he describes two in one bed, one taken, the other left. Two women, working at the mill, one taken, the other left. Enoch was and he was not, for God took him before the flood. The Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation says if you add to his words, he'll add unto you the plagues written in this book. But he tells another church, because you have kept the word of my patience, I'll keep you from that hour of temptation that's coming upon all the world. Say, I don't believe in that. You don't? Do you mind if I obey Jesus and pray that I be not led into temptation? That's what I'm going to do. Now, has God ever just caused somebody to be walking, next thing you know, they disappear? Yeah? Do you mind if I pray that that'll happen to me? I don't think it's wrong to obey Jesus and say, Lord, account me worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. But putting that aside for a moment, if you don't believe there's any possibility of escape, then this is what's coming to this world. And you will, unless you die beforehand, likely be standing before the false prophet and the Antichrist. And you're going to have to choose. Maybe it'll be incrementally to where you can't buy or sell. You're trying to find food. And then finally it'll be, hey, you got to do this or we're going to kill you. As a partial rapturist, you believe that there is a possibility of escape, as so many of our great fundamental forefathers believed. And I believe the Bible plainly teaches. But because it says there's a possibility of escape, it doesn't mean everybody's going to escape it. It doesn't mean every believer is going to escape it. Which means a large majority, when you take a first fruit out, that leaves most of the harvest in, you see. Which means a large number of Christians will go through the tribulation period. And as we get toward this point, the temptations and challenges can grow increasingly more severe and dangerous, as they do throughout the tribulation period, as everything culminates with the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. Let me just get to my point. What are you doing now? How are you standing now by faith? Are you already caving under pressure and saying, I can't do this, I got to give in. I can't do what God said, I got to give in. I can't walk by faith and do what God says, I have to give in. I have to compromise. I'm going through a hard time. How many people caved in on the vaccine, though they knew that it was bad for them? And not only did they know that it was bad for them, they knew that it was against their fundamental liberties. And that if they partook of it through pressure, that they're just furthering the whole system. You remember this fella? The book of Daniel, it says in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. What did they do? They took a lot of the young people as slaves to Babylon. And what the king decided to do was, from all the nations that he had captured, because he's pretty much ruling the whole world, he says, I want the best youth, the brightest youth of every single nation. And I'm going to train them We're going to feed them, and they're going to grow up and be trained in all of the arts and wisdom of the kingdom of Babylon, and they will be my future counselors. Not a bad idea. They get special food. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. Wow. And of the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now there's a problem. Most of the nations, they don't have any problem with that. But Daniel, he said, you know, I heard prophecies growing up. I heard about this. They said this was going to happen in my lifetime. And here I am now. I'm young, but here I am in Babylon, captured, away from my homeland. And I'm in this system, this Antichrist system. And now they're telling me I have to eat the food and drink the wine from the king. What would you have done? Wake up. What would you have done? Would you say, well, it's just bad food, I'm going to go ahead and eat it? And I understand there are degrees of what we might call bad food. But this was bad enough that Daniel said, I'm not going to eat it and I'm not going to drink that wine. Now you need to understand. First of all, the king of Babylon isn't going to follow what the Bible calls clean and unclean. I mean, we don't know if he's eating bats or bat dung or whatever they think is going to be good for you. Lizards, dogs, who knows what's going to be in that stew. Not only is it unclean flesh, likely in the stew or whatever he's given to eat, but they believed, as these pagans have often believed, that the blood of certain animals is very, not only healing, but can bring wisdom and such like. Then they had all kinds of drugs that they would mix with the wine. And if it was alcoholic wine, how do you know they're not giving alcohol to these people, to these young men? And it's even worse than that. The Roman Empire. And I'm telling you, if it was true in the Roman Empire, going back to Babylon and Assyria and these kingdoms, the Roman Empire believed that human blood was sometimes good for you. They would drink the blood of gladiators, if you could find it, to try to heal epilepsy and other things. How do you know human blood wasn't in that wine? For whatever reason, Daniel says, this is where I draw the line. You draw the line where you draw your line. I'm drawing my line right here. I'm not going to eat it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And he said, prove thy servants. I beseech thee 10 days. Just give me 10 days. Give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Just give me water and give me pulse. Pulse in the Oxford Dictionary says it's either green peas or lentils or something like that. And we certainly know that black-eyed peas and lentils and some of those types of beans are extremely healthy. It said, let me just eat these lentils and you come back 10 days and see how I look. See whether we look skinny. See whether we look like we're dying. Leviticus says, you shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth. Neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. Just eating that flesh is defilement. Daniel says, I don't want to be defiled. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Not only were they likely drinking blood, perhaps even human blood, they were eating all kinds of unclean animals, probably the blood of these animals. But who knows if the Babylonian had any sense? He says, hey, I just found this carcass out here that the wolves tore up. Man, let's put it in the pot. They don't have any sense about that type of stuff. Who knows what germs were there? If you say, well, maybe it was some type of pagan sacrifice. Well, Paul said, why does that matter as long as you're not participating in the actual ritual? But even going further, if they're going to sacrifice the wine to a pagan god, and they're going to sacrifice the meat to a pagan god, why wouldn't they sacrifice the lentils to a pagan god? How did that get you out of anything, saying, I want lentils? No, but what lentils did do is get you away from whatever meat, so-called meat, they were giving you. And by drinking water now, you don't have whatever's in that wine. But my whole point in giving you this, reminding you of this, is to show you that Daniel purposed, I'm not going to compromise. And all I want you to think about right now is this. Have you purposed in your heart that you're going to stand by faith and not compromise? Now, you might go from level 1 to level 10 real quick. It could be tomorrow morning. It's a life or death decision that you're making in America. We almost had life and death decisions with COVID. In fact, many did. You don't know who's going to take you over tomorrow. You don't know if the America that you now know will be the America that you have known growing up tomorrow. But I'm just asking you a question. Will you end up taking the mark of the beast? And what will be the reason that you will give? I can't buy or sell. I got to feed my kids. I got to take care of my family. And oh boy, I've heard the people just go that tell me all the compromises they have to make. What will you do if you're here? And you might be in a situation such as Nazi Germany where it's not the Antichrist, but you still have life and death decisions to make. Where to live, you have to go against God. If you follow God in faith, it appears that you're going to die. Many right now around the world are making these decisions every day. You've got brothers that I know that are witnessing in taxis and telling people about Jesus. And he knows any moment that they could turn him in and he could be gone. As other pastors have just disappeared right before him. Daniel purposed to stand. And if you're not already standing right now in the time of peace, if you can't walk by faith without compromise right now in the time of peace, if you can't get financially straight right now without compromise in the time of peace, what in the world are you going to do as things get tighter and harder? Daniel 3 gives us another example. Nebuchadnezzar the king, picture of the Antichrist, made an image of gold. That's what the Antichrist is going to have, his image, whose height was 60 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. Why the sixes? Why the sixes? Okay? Man's kingdom. He setteth it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. The book of Revelation speaks of Babylon, speaks of 666. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded. What if the herald's a picture of the false prophet? Mercury. O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king have set up. This shows how the language of music will be used in the final kingdom of Antichrist. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall that same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The Bible says you must worship the image of the beast or you will be killed. Uh-oh. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Oh, I tell you what. Nebuchadnezzar was full of rage. And he brought Daniel's three friends and says, is this true that you have defied me to not worship my image? Praise God. They stood by faith. You know what they said? They said, we're not careful to answer you about this. A lot of things we'll be careful about. But we're not careful about this. Our answer is no. You're going to have to throw us in the furnace. And if it be God's will, we'll die. If He rescues us, He rescues us. But know for sure, of a certainty, we will not bow down. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, which means they wore pants. When you look at the ancient Babylonian pictures on the walls, the men had pants on with an outer garment around it sometimes. The NIV even says trousers. We don't follow the stupid NIV, but I'm just showing you that they know what hosen is. That's just old English for trousers. And their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And you know the Lord Jesus met them there and walked through the fire with them. And when we stand, unless it's your time to go, Jesus is going to walk with you through the fires and deliver you. That's what standing by faith is. Here's the value, I think, of learning about 666 and the Antichrist and people dying if they don't take the mark. It shows you in regard to your money, in regard to the precious things that you externally hold on to. It shows us to hold on loosely, people. Because your money can disappear tomorrow. Everything that you know can be gone tomorrow. You don't know what your job is going to mandate tomorrow. But one day we know what is coming for the whole world and every nation of the earth. So let's hear what the Bible says. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Because number one, we're not to have idolatry. Number two, we're not to be so full. You need to take care of your business. You need to do everything God says to do so you can be blessed. You need to take care of your business, be responsible. But when you set your heart upon them, that focus is, it just becomes too much. Your affection, your heart. You're going to be in a bad situation. Because they're going to disappear. They're going to disappear. It says in Proverbs 23, wilt thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? Look at your paycheck right now. In one way, in one sense, the Bible says that is not. It's so uncertain. It's so uncertain that it might not be here tomorrow. By all means, work hard and get it. By all means, do what you can to make money so you can have money to give. He that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Honor God with your first fruits. But here's why he says, why are you setting your eyes on it? Why are you setting your heart on it? For riches certainly, certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. God's saying you might not have it tomorrow. Don't get boastful. Don't get high-minded. And whatever you do, hold on loosely. Because you might be tested tomorrow. You might be tested tomorrow. So what are we to do when we prosper? I believe in a general sense, people will in general prosper because they learn to be responsible. They have God. They're walking by faith. They're doing what God said. And I do believe, as we see in the Old Testament, that it leads to a general prosperity. But sometimes there's persecution. Often there's tribulation. There's the providence of God. But in general, you want to be thankful. You want to stay humble. You want to stay walking by faith. To show God that what He puts in your hands, you can be faithful with. You want to walk by faith, always. But if you can't walk by faith now, what are you going to do when things get worse? If you're already compromising, what are you going to do when the mark of the beast is here? What rationalizations will you have? The psalmist says, because He hath set His love upon me, God says, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I see that as a general beautiful truth, that God takes care of those that don't set their love upon their riches, but set their love upon Him, and they're willing to part with it at any moment if God says so, like the rich young ruler. But this is a prophecy also that people that have their love upon God and they're not worshiping their finances, they're not so tied to their finances that they can't obey God by faith. He's saying, I will set him on high. I will deliver him. These are rapture words, buddy. These are pre-trib rapture words all throughout the Bible. First Timothy 6 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. That's what happens when you get money or your money increases. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Why are they called uncertain? Because they might not be here tomorrow, or you might be put in a situation. Don't love it. Don't trust in it. When the Bible says love, it means don't love it more than God. Don't hold on loosely. But in the living God, put your trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It's not wrong to enjoy what God has done for you. It's not wrong to be grateful to God. You better be grateful. But it is wrong to trust in these things, to get high-minded, to start answering men roughly, to start thinking you're something, and you forget the God of mercy that brought you where you're at right now. And to most of the people in the world, you are very rich right now. You are extremely rich to most of the people in the world. We should do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That didn't mean call people on the cell phone. That means use your money for good. Take what you've been given and use it for good. You might not have it tomorrow. I've been preaching long enough where I've seen people go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's not always because of irresponsibility or lack of faith. Sometimes it's just the providence of God. I close with mainly this one verse. Jeremiah 12, God says to Jeremiah, because Jeremiah says, I didn't want this job as a prophet anyway. I told you not to call me. Now my family hates me. My friends hate me. Everybody thinks I'm some crazy fella. You gave me a job to go tell Israel, hey, you're going to Babylon for 70 years. Pack your bags and get ready because he is going to come take you over. And God says there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to Babylon. Just get ready. Boy, what a message. Boy, you better believe the king would want to kill you. Everybody wanted to kill him. And Jeremiah began to complain some. And God said to Jeremiah, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how can thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? The swelling of Jordan was when lions came up. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan. When it floods, the lions begin to manifest themselves. God's saying, this nation's going to come up. It's going to get rough. You're going to have temptations. What you're going through right now is the land of peace, even though you're being persecuted, even though you're having some trials. What are you going to do when it really gets rough? You can't walk by faith now? You can't trust me with your money, with your time, with your heart? You can't trust me with your life? What in the world do you think you're going to do when the temptation really comes? Because there's a time of temptation that God says is going to try the whole world. And there's never been. The Lord Jesus said, it's never been as bad as it's going to get, and it never will get as bad as it's going to get. That's what's coming. When you go to Whole Foods and you see people paying for things with their palm of their hand, when you see all this biometric stuff, all this digital currency, this World Health Organization, all these mandates, all these treaties, hey, folks, from this point, we're to pray and to try to stop this Antichrist spirit. When I say stop it, I mean we're to do good. We're to get in the way of the devil and his program. We're to let, says the Bible, which means hinder. And may we be found faithful. And if God be pleased, may we be accounted worthy to escape what's coming. But if we're left behind, may we serve God with all our might. And regardless, persecution can come before the Antichrist comes. Have you purposed in your heart? Young people, if you're already compromising right now, these aren't even the darkest days yet. You're already compromised? You already can't be trusted to do right and do good and be faithful? You already can't overcome in the satanic battle? You can't just be raised in a Christian home and resist the world a little bit? Well, they want me to be different. They want me to be good. They want me to do all this. I gotta compromise. What in the world are you gonna do? I know what a lot of people do. They're gonna compromise with the Antichrist. Dear Holy God, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you help us. We thank you, Father, for grace. We thank you for salvation by faith alone, through the blood of Jesus, through his righteousness, by faith therein. But we know, Lord, you've called us as to be disciples, to walk with you, to put nothing before you, not family members, not the cares of this life, not the things of this world. You told us that if we love the things of this world too much, that we're not your friend. Let us live detached, God, in a way that's not irresponsible, but shows every moment and every day that we know everything will burn and we know what's coming, and our faith is not in this world, it's not in the things of this world. Let us, like Daniel, let the young people be like Daniels that purpose in them hearts. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to defile myself. Dear Lord, if Daniel didn't defile himself with unclean flesh and such like, God forbid, what are young people defiling themselves with already, God? Such immoral sins and pollutions. Father, I do pray you inspire us right now and anyone listening to stand by faith, to right now serve you in faith, to right now say, I don't know how things are going to work out, but I do know I'm going to walk in faith. And if I can't stand now, what makes me think I'll stand in the future? Now, with all this, Lord, I do pray that you lead us not into temptation, that you account us all worthy to escape what's coming. So in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.